all the good singing today. We appreciate it very much. Somebody has a good voice in this section right here, too. So I think I know who it is. Okay. Very good. I was taught about responsibility at a young age from my parents, and I really didn't like the word at all. In fact, if I said, you know, would you like a lot more responsibility than what you have now? I'm sure it wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, you can count me in on that. Most feel overwhelmed. But if it was a responsibility given by God, kind of an upfront responsibility that was primary, not secondary or something you get to whenever you can get to it, I'm sure we'd all be thankful for that kind of thing. But my parents, here is what responsibility looked like for me as a growing up. First one was after school, homework first, outside, recreation time second. Okay, homework first, recreation time second. So it would be an hour, half an hour, whatever I could jam in with the homework. That didn't necessarily carry on to further education or even job responsibilities. You know, job first. Sometimes it's, can I have my snack first? And then I'll do my work. But responsibility, that's a big deal. Also in our house, Saturday morning was a time of unwanted responsibility because it was clean the whole house day, every Saturday morning. Saturday morning was not a happy time for me personally. So my assignment was, which I might have mentioned before, was to clean the baseboards in the whole house, hands and knees, crawling all around. And it really would only take about a half an hour, but I turned it into an hour because I would sit there and bemoan my fate for at least 30 minutes. And it shows you no further responsibility I could take on because of the perspective I had on the little responsibility I was given. I acted like this was horrible fate. But God gives us the opportunity to have a gift from Him. And it's an assignment the Lord gives. That's the phrase out of the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage that we'll look at. If you were to look up the word responsible in the Bible, there wouldn't be a whole lot of that word, but it does mean to remain with God. That's something. A responsible person remains with God, sticks to the task that God gives them. It's a blessing assigned by God, almost like a paradise gift. Adam and Eve, before sin came into the world, God said, here's a garden. Enjoy the garden. You know, work it, till it, and watch things grow. And God makes things grow. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, that call is given in addition to 1 Corinthians 3. God's word says, each man as responsible to God. That's a very humbling thought. Each man as responsible to God should remain in the calling God put him. That is a reference to some relationship things that people were confused about, marriage and so forth. God was saying, stay with what I'm asking you to do in those callings. So be responsible to God. Romans 3 talks about this. The whole world is responsible to God. Now that's something. If you think of every activity that happens, you know, all economics responsible to God. All education responsible to God. The gift of music in some manner, build people up or honor God. Or share a burden, something responsible to God. The whole world is held accountable to God, accountable and responsible, synonyms at that point. Numbers chapter 1, Levites were responsible for taking care of the tabernacle. And we take that mantle on a little bit. As Christians, we're known as priests. We pray to God on behalf of others, but also we take care of worship in terms of saying, this is for you, Lord. Singing, praying, gathering, fellowship, gifts to God. good job, Levites. We're doing what we're asked to do today. You know, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So it's a work. It's a calling. It's a gift of paradise. It's something that initially is it's like the syllabus of our life. Oh, okay, this is what we'll be doing in that manner. When a number of years ago we had a game dinner speaker for the guys, and somebody asked him the question, what is a mature Christian in your perspective? He was a pretty good leader. And so he said, a mature Christian is somebody who takes care of their responsibilities. Okay, and he had in mind, you know, good communication with family life, friendships, work, fellow believers, those kind of issues. And Paul here in 1 Corinthians 3 is dealing with the issue of people coming to know God and doing that through different people. And he says this, that God has a part in that, the major part. God makes things grow. He compares our helping people know Christ to like a big farming endeavor. God makes things grow. And then he says, and one plants. Some people are going to plant and some people are going to water. Imperfect analogy, God sends the water too. But we plant, that's our responsibility. We water, that's our responsibility. God brings the growth. So we want to talk about that opportunity that you and I have. And we're on a good team. God is leading the team. And we're together called God's field or God's building. There's a sense of, we're not in this responsibility alone. Someone says it takes like, you know, four or five or six Christians to be a part of somebody's life before they say, oh, maybe I should put my faith in Jesus too. And so the responsibility of planting and watering, we want to kind of take on together. And to know that this is by the grace of God. Later on in Paul's letter, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so by God's gift to us, we water or we plant. It's not from super duper ability on our own. Jesus said to his followers who were fishermen, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So this is something God says to us, you can do this. And we can be sure he'll do his part. He'll cause things to grow. But we plant, we water. Even in the often lacking of planting and watering, we can take heart. As the song we sang said, where sin runs deep, your grace is more. So even if I feel like I'm not good at pointing other people to God, that's like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I can barely tell them how to get to Shop and Save up the hill over here. But to point them to the Lord, that your life is a billboard, a signpost, God says, I can help you do that. That'll be a grace in your life. And so by the grace of God, you are who you are and you do what you do. Point people to Christ. And so here's some passages that help us with that I think you'll find building of your faith, God's word, making your faith stronger in him. To the same church, Paul says, you show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ. Okay, and you think of all the good letters you got maybe from Christmas cards or important people. You know, the government will send you something, pay this and that and the other. But your life, a letter from Christ, Amplified Bible, Message Bible, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ himself wrote it not with ink, but with God's living spirit. So libraries are fantastic places, you know. And what's available on the internet? Okay, Library of Congress Plus. You have to treat. I was kidding my family the other day. They said I got to look up Google, and I said, oh, Google, the false prophet. You know, because it's wrong. only about 10% of the time, or but that's, you know, in the Bible, that's delete Google. No, but that, it's a tool, and so but something better than Google is if a life was written by Christ, not in ink or computer screen, but Christ Himself writes it with His Spirit. That's you. That's really something. And the letter is sent every day. And God makes things grow. He uses you to plant and water. So your presence makes a difference. You should know that. The contact you have with people, even if it's minimal, it means a lot in God's kingdom that you are planting and watering by your presence. We'll talk about words later. I knew a school board, for example, that had two Christians on the school board, and one happened to be the pastor of the church where I worshiped, so that was pretty good. The other one was an elder, and they would participate in the school board. So when issues would come up, stewardship, salary, curriculum, caring for students, workers, teachers, they would bring to the table a perspective from the heart of God. They were like letters, you know, of influence on the school board. And that could be you, if you know, not on a school board, but wherever you're at, in your home, how important, at work. The one fellow was asked, could you open in prayer? We know, you know, that means a lot to you. So he did that. So you're an effective billboard for the Lord, sent with a purpose to plant and water. That is, remember, that's your responsibility. That's something you can't say, well, no, that's not for me. God says, this is you. And with His help, you could do this. End up being a part of God's field, God's building. Another way we could participate in planting and watering is a heart open to other people. To be hospitable, from a fellow pastor here. Hospitality is not inviting people to a perfect home or a perfect church, but inviting people into your imperfect heart. Okay. Often we think of hospitality, and it's okay to do this. Somebody's coming over, you know, get the dog poof off the sidewalk, and you know, please pick up your socks. They're going to be passing through here. But you try to be presentable. But more so, it's your heart open to that person. And I found in talking to somebody about faith or Jesus, if they share something of a nature that's broken or sinful or troubled, you know, I usually don't say, well, come over here to Jesus and all that'll just like, it'll disappear. I usually say, boy, you know, God knows all about that. And I usually, at that point, only after listening and caring of what's happening, share maybe one thing of sin or brokenness or trouble in my own life. Oh, you know, I can't be a good dad without Jesus' help every day. Something that points them to the imperfect heart where Christ helps a person. And so you can do that. And as you do that, God will open the door for saying, oh, thank you for planting and watering about His faithful work. See. And so he will make that grow in His providence. So that's a pretty exciting ministry that you could have. Just be open-hearted, especially to somebody who's not like you, which basically is the rest of the human race. Okay. The next action we could take, which is pretty essential but hard to believe, is inviting people to be integrated into the life of the church, discipling people to a deep, lifelong church connection. This is the road to health. Now, this is something we normally don't believe in practicality. We think, come to Jesus and receive Him. That's so important. Let Him give you a new life that you don't have. And then maybe, if you could find a group of people that suits you and that fits you and you like, you know, some of whatever's going on, then you could have church. But that's not that important. Not so, says the Bible. Okay, not so, says the Bible. In the Bible itself and in reality, if you come to Christ, you will come to His people. You will come to the body of Christ. Okay, you will come to the field of Christ, the gathering of Christ. And so the head, Jesus, is connected to the body. So you want to be able to say, only because the Bible says so, not because you're part of a church. Nobody cares about that. But if you come to Christ, then you are helping people be connected to His people too, if they come to Him. And so this is pretty important. I find this in conversation with people. When I talk to people about God, you know, and I'm not prolific or anything every day out there on the street, but when I talk to people about God, I usually end up talking about you. I end up talking about you. Why? Because you're God's people. Because you're His body. So connection with Christ equals connection to His church. That's something I think we have to regain in our soul, believe what the Bible says about that, and go with it. Okay, so be real, real glad. You know, it prevents us from just having Jesus in a phone booth and thinking a phone booth is something that, for the younger people, you went into, you made a phone call, and that was it. I need a different illustration, obviously. But you don't want just Jesus in just a little narrow space. But it's among the people gathering to follow Him, the sheep following the shepherd. So plant and water in regards to Jesus and the gathering of His people. It's be the same thing, which we have a concern, which is healthy concern. Why would you want to go to church? Don't just go to church and not know the Lord. Somebody would say, that's a big problem, you know. A lot of people there in church there, they don't know the Lord. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it's the same thing. How can you know the Lord if you don't know His body? Same critical connection. And so see that as a gift, you know. And certainly the people around you are a gift from God, both that you build up in the faith and they build you up. And it's just part of God's plan. And you'll be spending eternity with the church. So it's a fantastic opportunity. And it comes down to real other more specific things. And so the call before us to plant and water, here's my rubber meets the road. Do you hear God talking to you or not? Invite people to church on a regular basis, each month. Invite people to church each month. If we are not doing this, how do we expect the church to grow? Okay. We know God makes it grow only, not our invitation, but to plant and water so that people can hear of Christ, think of Christ, very, very important as our responsibility. Okay. This happened in God's Word as people moved to this new community of believers, you know, called churches. God uses us in this manner. And I know unless it's looked at as a glad responsibility, we probably will not get to it. For example, pew cards that says, you know, caring about you or I care about you or we care about you or something on the pew card. If we were to honestly put down 2019 or 2020 rather, did you invite anybody to church in 2019? I'm thinking in my own mind, I might, like if I stretch it, it might be like one. Okay. So I'm guessing as a group of people, we basically would put honestly, no. You know. Why? Well, it's not because you hate church or you don't like the Lord. It's only because you're overwhelmed with a lot of responsibility. But if that's up front in God's goodwill for your life, then you'll be glad to. You know, you'll end up extending yourself in an invitation that's very pleasant. Our church is very, very wonderful at doing this Christmas time. Usually invite a whole bunch of people. Easter time, a whole bunch of people. Other special occasions. We could work on the 48 other weeks in that manner, you know. And just say, God, this week, there to plant in water, I'll be glad to invite, you know, whomever. And God will use you in that manner. You're bringing people to a place where God is praised, people are loving and compassionate, good news of truth is shared, and so lives are changed. So that is a big calling in our lives to do with an intentional trust to God and a love to people. People who invited me to church loved me. One happened to be my best friend in high school, and the other were college people, you know. Other than that, I wasn't going. Nobody else was inviting me. That wasn't the church was not even on my radar screen. I don't know what was going on in there. I was not interested. But the Lord was faithful. So to invite people is a good thing. It's a planting and watering ministry. And then you can tell a person as a planting and watering how the Lord has changed your life. Because every truth from God's word deserves a story. Okay, a story. In my life, it would be a lot of stories of forgiveness that I felt like I needed forgiven for both actions and relational warfare with people. And so I tell people, this is what I did, and this is how God helped me to know forgiveness, to be different in that kind of behavior. The story is told. It makes an impact. We were with a medical person a couple months ago, and they initiated sharing faith. Do you have any faith in God that helps you with this condition? So we were surprised. We said, yeah, you know, pray every day and ask God for help, et cetera, et cetera. And one of my family members, who's very direct, said to the person, and do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I thought, well, get right to the point there. And the person kind of danced around the question and basically said no by dancing around the bush. But it was a story to be told of the faithfulness and goodness of God. That yes, He's Lord of all, and yes, He can put us at peace with God when we don't have peace on our own. So, hey, your story is worth hearing. It is wonderful what God is doing in your life and what He did when He first drew you to faith in Himself. You know, and then Paul said, well, can you do it? Your confidence is from God, and your competence is. You can do it. And you have to say something in closing. You know, tell of Jesus and His love. Being a silent witness is good. We're silent witnesses 98% of our day, right? We just go about the day, and we count on, you know, standing a giant eagle and just looking pleasant and filled with God, and somebody will say, I bet he believes in Jesus, and I should start too. I mean, that's good. However, words make a difference. I'll give you one illustration that I got borrowed from another fella. Okay, I'm going to give you a nonverbal message. You tell me what good news I'm telling you. Okay? Okay, what did I just communicate? You have no idea. I was trying to tell you that Sheets is a wonderful place to get coffee, and it certainly peps you up, and you can have some donuts there, and it's just fantastic. Now, wasn't that a clear nonverbal message? I have to say something, right? I have to say something. You and I, we get to say something about the goodness of Jesus. And certainly enough good things to say about him. We'll come up with some truth that will help somebody. So be that good planter. Give the good water and God will make things grow. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the people in our lives that pointed us to yourself. As the Bible would say, well, maybe we don't even remember their name, Apollos or Paul, but you introduced yourself to us. And they were faithful to get us near good news. And thank you for being that good news, dear Jesus. We're still amazed how many lives you change across the globe and continue to do so, and even in our neighborhoods, and make us a part of that good activity. Help us to see that as a responsibility, not as something only the outgoing people do, or the ones who really know their Bible, they do that. But it's for every believer, it's a good activity, a good call from God. Bless us as we follow you in this, and we lean on your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.